Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. For a second straight week, Enlighten Me takes us to WMPH and Mount Pleasant High School in the Brandywine School District, one of the two schools we've partnered with on our Generation Voice Youth Media Project. Students there and at our other partner, WMHS, at McCain High School in the Red Clay School District, produce interviews and features throughout the year. And from time to time, we'd like to highlight some of that work right here on The Green. And again, this week, we have two features produced at Mount Pleasant's WMPH. The first is from junior Will Roosh. He notes that even though the latest unemployment statistics put the Delaware jobless rate at 3.7% and the national rate at 4%, many teenagers still struggle to find jobs. And he attempted to find out why.
Imagine you just turned 16. Your parents are asking you to get a job to pay for the gear and shoes you want. Only one problem. It is hard to find a job when you are still in school and have no consistent way to get to work.
I feel like there's not as many resources available to teens as they said there would be. Because I went into this thinking, all right, it's going to be super easy to find a job. They're going to have a website or something. There's nothing. I can't find anything. I went to one website, and now I get spam calls four times a day from random numbers saying, we have employment opportunities, but then they hang up when I say I'm in high school.
That's Sean. He says he has applied to 11 jobs in the past year and has not gotten any of them. The overall unemployment rate in U.S. is down. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, unemployment has dropped by about 0.5% since 2016. If that's the case, why is it so hard for teens to find jobs? George Sharpley is in charge of statistics for the Delaware Department of Labor.
Well, there's a variety of issues there. I mean, one would be skills, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't had time to build up the skills that employers are really demanding.
According to the Employment Policies Institute, unemployment for teens 16 to 19 years old is about 26%, and many teens have difficulty finding that first job. Wes Davis is director of development for West End Neighborhood House.
Although now unemployment is at historic lows for adults, teen unemployment, especially for youth ages 16 to 24, has typically been much higher, nearly three times as much according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics for 2015, which has not changed much in terms of the trend.
Transportation is one barrier to teen employment. Without a consistent ride to work, many teens won't be able to get or keep a job. And I can tell you from experience, the public transportation is not an option. It doesn't go to my workplace when I need to get there. Sharpley agrees it's an issue.
I mean, obviously, if you have reliable transportation, then the area that you can go get a job in expands.
Even teens who do have jobs may struggle to earn enough money. Companies that hire teens often pay the minimum wage, which on January 1st became $8.75 for most people in Delaware. However, rather than raise the minimum wage for everyone to $8.75, Delaware created its first youth wage for anyone younger than 18 and its first training wage for new hires in their first 90 days, both of which pay 50 cents less than a new standard minimum wage. All this to delay paying teens like me the extra 50 cents, which would have meant an extra $20 in my paycheck. But the good news is, by the end of 2019, most clerks and fast food workers will be collecting $9.25 an hour. Wes Davis again.
The situation has changed a bit, but I think the trend still continues in that there aren't as many entry level jobs, summer jobs that there used to be for teens specifically.
Another big issue is school and extracurricular activities. Many teens are still in school for most of the day, which means they can only work afternoons, nights, and weekends. Then there are the teens who play sports and participate in many after-school activities. This makes it very hard to schedule teens for consistent or significant hours. George Sharpley again.
I think for, trying to get a job that fits your schedule as a full-time student can be tricky, because that's your main job is studying. So to get a job that you can kind of fit around that and the hours work for you, that's not always the easiest thing to do.
So even though unemployment as a whole is at a low, some of us are still waiting for those numbers to start to show in teen unemployment.
Thanks to junior Will Roosh for his piece. Next, we hear from senior Amaya Williams. Gun violence has been a persistent problem in Wilmington, and as police departments and lawmakers work to change that, Amaya explores the psychological impact of violence can have on teens growing up in Delaware's largest city.
In 2017, Wilmington, Delaware was considered the deadliest city in the United States for juveniles. A USA Today, an AP analysis of several years of juvenile shootings data, showed Wilmington had a higher rate than Chicago. According to Wilmington Police Department data, there were 19 juvenile shooting victims in the city in 2017 and 8 last year.
There are children all throughout our state
who were living in war zones in their own home.
That's then City Councilwoman Sherry Dorsey Walker talking to WMPH in 2016. She said witnessing violence can impact adolescents' behavior. Wilmington child psychotherapist Palai Payne says it can affect a child's ability to communicate.
Sometimes you see that they're not able to verbalize themselves when they do get upset. So instead of being able to say, I'm frustrated right now, because maybe they've seen people, use guns, or they've seen people hit when they get upset. They'll hit or they'll say, I'll shoot.
Violence is more common in some areas than in others. According to the state's Criminal Justice Council, in 2016, more than half of the shooting incidents in the state came from the city of Wilmington. Some begin to grow accustomed to it. However, that doesn't make the blow any softer. Palai shared how a shooting outside of a school she worked at altered the students' behavior.
But I would say it wasn't abnormal in that neighborhood to have a shooting around the school, and we've had that. It does affect their ability to learn.
Dorsey Walker argues that it could have happened before the child even reached school grounds.
This is what my babies are seeing. These, my same babies, are seeing this in their community. And then they have to go to school the next day.
It's widely agreed that gun violence in Wilmington is a problem, but setting policy around guns is where people tend to disagree. Delaware gun rights advocate Mitch Denham does not think that eliminating access to guns is the answer. He thinks many who are against guns are simply scared by what they see on TV and in movies. He thinks firearms are
supposed to prevent oppression by the government. And that was the original intent of the Founding Fathers when they wrote the Second Amendment, was to provide the people with the ability to protect themselves in the event that they were ever forced into a situation of tyranny again.
But Denham does support restrictions on who can buy guns.
I don't think that there's any way you could possibly ever do enough in that situation. I think that there's always going to be someone that falls through. I think that we are doing a lot better job than we were doing. The red flag bill, the Beau Biden Gun Act of last year that Delaware proposed and passed, will do a lot to help with that.
These bills are two of several pieces of state-level gun safety reform legislation that were signed into law last year. Both of these laws have the same goal: to keep firearms out of the hands of potentially dangerous individuals. According to state officials, the Beau Biden Gun Violence Prevention Act allows mental health professionals who consider an individual a danger to themselves or others to alert law enforcement officials. An officer can then seek a court order for their firearms to be relinquished. To ensure that this is done justly, probable cause is required and the order can be appealed. The red flag law allows family members to start a similar process. According to state officials, other gun safety legislation passed last year toughened penalties for straw purchases and banned bump stocks in the state. A proposed ban on assault weapons that failed to pass the General Assembly last year may be reintroduced this year, according to the News Journal. Sherry Dorsey Walker was elected to the State House of Representatives last fall. While talking to WMPH in 2016, she worried that few lawmakers had direct experience with gun violence.
If you have never lived it and you don't understand it and you're making laws about them, then maybe you just need to step outside of your comfort zone and get to know what other people endure on a regular basis. This is everyday life for some of our children.
Dorsey Walker maintains that laws and legislation aren't always the best answer.
What our children are in need of is mental health counseling. They don't need to be penalized criminally for, in some cases, juvenile behavior.
Payne agrees, adding that access to treatment often depends on economic factors.
So it really depends on what neighborhood you're from, what resources they have, right? So ideally, there would be therapists, there would be school professionals, there would be, you know, psychiatric hospitals, all these things that are helping. And sometimes kids do have those resources and sometimes they don't.
Amir Carter grew up on Wilmington's west side, specifically Down Bottom, a term Wilmingtonians use to describe the area surrounding the Riverside Projects. It's an area residents know is notorious for juvenile shootings. He vividly remembers seeing and hearing about shootings, even witnessing one in person.
They just came out of nowhere and started shooting. And mind you, it's little kids at the park. It's like young teens, like I can say like 13, 14. It was the highest age that was there. And everybody was like jumping under cars and running down the street. First they thought it was firecrackers and they saw the gun. It was a mess.
He thinks witnessing incidents similar to this have affected how he feels about his community. Carter says staying aware of your surroundings is the key to staying safe.
I mean, I feel okay, like, being walking around in my community, but you just have to be cautious so you don't know what's going to happen. Like, anything can pop off. Anything can get real hectic real quick.
Last year, Wilmington police reported a more than 50% drop in shootings in 2018 compared to the previous year. Carter has conflicting feelings about this. He says that even if it is decreasing, it's hard to recognize.
I don't know what's going on, to be honest. Like, there's always intervals. It's always, like, a couple months apart or, like, maybe a year apart or somebody gets shot at but not killed. Like, it might be going down, but nobody really notices it because they keep the negativity in the air.
Carter doesn't see any clear solutions.
I mean, there's certain solutions, but you never know what can happen because we have gun laws and people still don't. They're going to do what they want. They're going to find a way to do what they want.
In Wilmington, I'm Amaya.
Thanks to Senior Amaya Williams for her piece. And a reminder that these stories are part of Generation Voice, our collaboration with the Brandywine School District at Mount Pleasant High School and its radio station WMPH, and the Red Clay School District at McCain High School and its radio station WMHS. Our youth media producer, Sophia Schmidt, oversees Generation Voice for us and worked on these pieces with teacher Paul Wishengrad, who runs the career pathway we work with at Mount Pleasant.